Let us turn together to James chapter 2, and you find my text in verse 5. James chapter 2, verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, has not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which He has promised to them that love Him? And with this verse, I'd like to look at, with God's help, at three marks of the child of God. Three marks of the child of God here. Now, I'm sure you are becoming quite familiar to the letter of James, so I'll spare to you a little bit of introduction with chapter 1. We have been dealing with this quite a number of times. But before getting into chapter 3, I thought of looking better to this verse, and which we have been passing by quite quickly last time. You may have noticed that as we were reading, so many times we found the expression, my brethren, my brethren, my brethren. I think we can count at least 11 times throughout all the epistle. But especially in this verse 5, we notice a strengthening or an expression which is more underlined. You may even feel the Apostle James almost shouting when he is writing this, because you find at the beginning of the verse this word, hearken, hearken, my beloved brethren. It is like he is saying, he has been saying this few times already in chapter 1. He is addressing these Christians as his dear brethren. All that he is saying here, he is saying really with his love of Christ, with all his heart, and he is not willing to cast these people down. You may think of this because there are indeed difficult subjects addressed here, and he's really pointing the finger to them all, and he's underlining their sin openly. But yet, notice how much love is expressed here. He tells them all the time, my brethren, my dear brethren. And here, specifically, he begins, it's the only time we find this. He says, hearken, like raising his voice and saying, listen, listen, my dear brethren. And you remember the context. The reason he's addressing this now is because he pointed out something very bad they were doing. They were having respect of persons. They would look externally to people who were perhaps richer than others, obviously, and they would treat these people in a different way than poor people and other who would come to the meetings. Now, at this point here, he really raises his voice and says, hearken, listen, listen very well, my brethren. This is not how God looks at things. Remember these important truths. And that's where he lists these three things that I'd like to bring to your attention. So these three very important things and truths are chosen, rich, and loving. God has not chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which He has promised to them that love Him. These are the three things we find in this text regarding the children of God, and these are indeed the marks of their lives. First of all, then, chosen. The people of God are chosen by God. If you are a Christian today, you have been chosen by God Himself. The Lord, the Word of God tells us, the Lord has chosen his own people. When we read at the end in Revelation 17 the image of the end of times, we read these words about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of lords, King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. This is what will be declared one day before God about his people, the chosen one. This is Revelation 17:14. It is God that has chosen them before the foundation of the world. And they, these same one, will be those who will be sharing eternity with him. Those that will be with him, with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Those are those called and chosen and faithful. Now, God has chosen these people out of unconditional love. That's the only reason and explanation that we can give. There is nothing in themselves. And God chose them out of his free and unconditional love and will. You may gather this even from the beginning of the revelation that we have in our hands. But let me give to you Deuteronomy chapter 7. When through Moses, God addresses Israel and says this: Thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. God has chosen his people to be a special people unto himself. And this is not all. God goes on and gives the reason. In verse 8, chapter 7, Deuteronomy, God says, because he loved you. Simply this, God chose to love some in this world throughout eternity, out of his unconditional love. Now we hear so much of man's free will, and man and men and women are free to do what they like, and well, that's fair enough up to a point. But we are never to forget that man's free will is always limited by their sinful nature. And when anyone comes to Christ and believes in him, it is only because the Holy Spirit has enlightened that mind, has transformed and touched that very heart, and has made that person willing to believe and to hold Christ by faith. If this was not the case, it means that anyone would believe and give some kind of contribution to their own salvation. If God had not chosen you from the beginning of the world, your faith could be the merit for earning your salvation, and so on. And those believers who do not grasp this, those who cannot accept that God chose his own from eternity, are missing a great truth indeed. If you are a Christian today, if you know the Lord and love him, this must give you humility, more thankfulness for God's sovereign grace. You can stand before the throne of grace because of Christ, and knowing that it was not your own will to decide, although you did, but greater than your will It was God's own choosing. It was God's preparing all your way and heart to see Him and to run to Him and to love Him as you know Him today. It is all of grace. It is God's choosing. And even if any of you here is still unconverted and is still not grasping the truth of salvation in Christ, if you are not sure of your own salvation and sins forgiven, well, this very truth that God is choosing His people should not depress you nor keep you away at all, but rather should excite you to greater desire to come to Him and to cry up to the heavens for mercy. Because if it's not God touching your heart and moving within your mind with the Holy Spirit, you will never ever experience the mercy and the salvation in Christ. I'll give you the reason for this. And listen to the words of Christ when He was walking here on earth, and where He explained the way for prayer when He addressed the disciples on the Lord's Prayer. You remember at the end of that, if you read Luke chapter 11, the Lord Jesus would turn to the disciple and say, "I say unto you, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened." You should write these words in front of your bed and remember these words every night. For the fear of not having been chosen by God, or the bringing to God any excuse that you cannot be saved because you may be not the chosen one, is nonsense. Christ has come and has declared of having come for sinners like yourself. And if you want to be saved, you only have to ask. Because the Lord continues in Luke there, chapter 11, verse 13. Jesus is speaking about prayer directly and says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" Are you saved, my friend? Would you like to be saved? Have you ever asked God, the Father in heaven, for Holy Spirit, for His Spirit to see the light and be saved? Ask, my friend. Knock. Seek, and you shall find. Never give rest to your soul until you know to be in heaven by the grace of God. This is a great mystery, but this is the gospel. And no one here can ever hide himself and saying, "Well, maybe God hasn't chosen me." Well, the plain answer is this again. Have you asked? Have you knocked? Will you continue knocking and seeking and pleading with the Lord that you might be saved? There are no excuses. But this is a comfort. This is the truth. God has chosen His people. And notice this very verse. What tells us more about God's choosing? God is choosing His own, not according the standards of this world. We are told God has chosen the poor of this world. The poor. The one whom the world has despised. The poor in spirit. God's very way of showing His great power and wisdom is choosing them that the world declares to be unworthy. In Matthew, again, we read when Jesus declared to a group of disciples there around Him, He says that the Father has hid these things regarding the kingdom of God from the wise and the prudent, the learned, those who pretend to be knowing everything and find themselves wiser than God. Well, God has actually hid the things of the kingdom to those, to such men. But to whom did He reveal? Jesus says, the Father was pleased to reveal these things to the babes, to the children, to those who sincerely and honestly come to Him. Those who know to be poor and needy and sinners. Psalm 74 tells us about the congregation of the saints, the congregation of the poor. Psalm 106 speaks about the people of God as those who have received special mercies. Yet, it is true and fair to say that not all poor people are chosen. Poor regarding material means. And not even God is limiting His choice to the poor only, because we find wealthy people as well in the kingdom of God. But the truth is that God is not interested in those who can bring anything to Him. God is not looking for those who come to Him trying to impress Him with their wealth or with their knowledge or with their great works. God is not impressed by such people. But rather, God has chosen the poor and the despised and the weak and those who bring to Him sins only. Sins and burdens to be forgiven and to be received as sinners and be saved by Christ Jesus, His Son. Those are the chosen by God. So secondly, this is the first mark that James tells us about God's children. And the second mark you notice is to be rich. James says, God has chosen. But obviously, what we are looking at is a question. But it is a question made in such a way that the answer is obvious. All these things are true. This is saying, James is saying these things in the form of a question, but actually the obvious answer is positive. So God has chosen the poor of this world who are rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom. These are the two things that makes these people rich. Not only chosen, but rich. And these two things that we can look under this heading, being rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom. This is the riches of these people. These are not the reason for God's choosing, but rather they are the characteristics and the consequences of God's choosing. For example, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians, would say this: I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus, that in everything ye are enriched in Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. See, here's the point. Again, taken by Paul, just like James. In everything you are enriched by Him. This is why these people chosen are rich. Because they are rich in Christ. Being chosen in Christ, they are, first of all then, rich in faith. You remember Abraham was declared in Romans chapter 4. Abraham was declared strong in faith. And by his faith he gave glory to God. And God's people are rich because of their faith. Perhaps one great example we can look at is in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 15, just briefly together. There is a great example of the woman from Canaan that was declared by Christ having great faith. There's a woman, poor woman, despised, under great pressure, but rich in faith. You remember, I'm sure you remember very well the incident, but it's chapter 15, verse 22. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, that is Jesus, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, she cries after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. What an example of great faith of a woman whose life was rich and rich indeed because she had faith in God. You see, notice what we have already said. Basically, Jesus is answering this woman, You are not chosen. God, Jesus said to her, I've come to the lost sheep in Israel. And she was from Canaan. She was from a pagan country. She was not at all in the position of being worthy for Jesus' healing and answer. Yet, she was chosen. If you look at all this afterwards, this is God's wise plan, and this is how faith works. Nevertheless, after Jesus replied in such a way, she runs to him again. She's not content, and she's not going away, just like Jacob fighting with the angel. You remember when Jacob hold of the angel, the man, and fought with him and said, I will not let you go. Have you prayed in such a way, my friend, so that you might be saved? Have you cried and hold unto the Lord Jesus in prayer and on your knees, like this woman, saying, I know, but even dogs receives a little bit of crumbs from the table. Even though I'm not worthy, I acknowledge this. I don't deserve anything at all, but all I want is a crumb of your blessing. That's faith. She didn't care of even hearing from Christ that she might not have been chosen. Is that your case, my friend? Do you still have any fear of not being saved, of possibly not being in the number of the chosen one? Well, look at this woman. Think of what James says. Those who are in Christ are chosen, but rich in faith. Rich in faith. Faith is indeed the treasure of the children of God. And they are rich not only in faith, but also, did you notice, because they are heirs of a kingdom promised for them. It is an everlasting inheritance. All God's people have a place there with Christ and God. The Lord, Psalm 16, will say, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. And Paul, when he's praying to the Ephesians in chapter 1, he says, and cries to God for the Ephesians, saying, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That's Paul's prayer, and that's our prayer. That's my prayers for you all, that we may all know which is the glory of the inheritance, how much rich, how great is our riches in heaven prepared for us, for all those that trust in him. Time is running. But there's something else to say regarding this inheritance, which is important. And Paul mentions this because it is an inheritance which is prepared in heaven. It is ready for all believers there. It is a right, but it is not fully possessed yet. We are here in this world and we are living in this body of sin. And Ephesians chapter 4 tells us another good aspect, because the Holy Spirit, Paul says, the Holy Spirit is the seal of the Christian, which is prepared for the day of redemption. Ephesians 4:30. There is a mark on the Christian. There's the seal of the Holy Spirit, which testifies that you are his, and you will have, and you have a right. You have a right now upon this inheritance, and you will be brought there by God's power. I've been recently at Norman's place to look at his sheep, and I'm sure Anita remembers very well. He showed us two newborn lambs, and what they had was a mark, a colored mark on their skin. That mark is to show that these sheep are his. And I'm sure if anybody would run into his field, he would be surely chasing after them, because those sheep are his. They have his mark, and so is what God declares in the gift of the Holy Spirit in the life of the Christian. Is there anything more comforting for you, my friend? Is there any riches of this world that can compare your faith and the inheritance that you have in his kingdom? So then, chosen, rich, but also, lastly, loving. You see, the order of these three things are important, because election comes first. It is the beginning of it all, God's choosing. Then comes faith, and then consequently again comes love to Christ. And this is to confirm what James is teaching throughout his letter. He is looking after a faith which is growing and strengthened and becoming actually practical. Not, what's the word he is using, and we have seen last week at the end of chapter 2. Not a weak or vain faith or dead faith, but true, real faith. There's the consequence. God's people are loving people. Love is the effect of faith. And when you have faith in Christ, you go and run to Him and love Him in faith. Those that do not believe do not love either. And those that do not love, they cannot obey either. Because God loved you first, and as a consequence, you love Him. I read a story of that happened apparently at Stirling Castle. And there were, many years ago, there were workmen nearby the rock of the castle there. They were blasting the rock somewhere to build a pathway. So, in a certain place, in a certain point, they all placed a lot of dynamite. And that was all ready to explode and make way into that rock. Everything was ready and they kept at a distance. But all of a sudden, they saw a little child walking toward that very place. And what they did was shout loud in fear and panic, so to cause that boy to go away from that place. But sadly, what happened was that as they shouted, they realized that that boy became terrified and he didn't move. He stopped. He didn't know, he didn't realize what was going on. Until, from another corner, his mom saw what was happening. She knew what was happening. And she, with wide arms, began to cry and saying, "Dear child, come to me. Run here." And at that calling, that boy moved and ran toward her mom and was saved. So to you, dear friend, is Christ calling and crying and begging you to come to Him and love Him and recognize His true voice to be saved. These are the people who will love God and Christ because they have been loved first. They have been rescued from the tragedy of hell and sin. And these people not only love God and Christ, but they love His kingdom and His glory. They love His commandments and all His children. The Puritan Thomas Manton put it like this about love. He said, "Love is like an echo. It returns what has received." And so it is with God's love. So then, these people who are the chosen one, those who are rich in faith and who love God, to them God has promised the kingdom. Not that this promise has or depends in some ways on their love, but all this so that you may love Him. Love to Christ is the end of all things. Just like Paul, you remember Paul in Corinthians chapter 13, he would say, "Now abideth faith, love and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." Just one more thing. I read of a little girl who was concerned about heaven, and she came to her grandpa and said, "Dear John," or whatever, Do you think I will recognize my little white rabbit when I will be in heaven?" And you can imagine with a smile, her grandfather explained something like this. "You know, when you will be in heaven, you will be so much caught up by the glory and the beauty and the love of Christ that you will forget many other things. Every other thing thing that you have in this world will have another place. But there's the place where you will fully love and enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ. At every wedding, the bride and the bridegroom, they don't see anything else than their both eyes and their glimpse to one another. And so when Christ and His people will be meeting together, that will be the full expression of eternal love that will be seen and experienced forevermore. My friends, is there anyone here looking for marks of grace and perhaps strength for coming to the Lord's table again soon? May you ask the Lord this kind of love. May He fill your heart with His love, so that you may know to be chosen, and you will see even a small crumb of faith working in your life.